Welcome back.
Yay, part two.
Part two. I hope you enjoy the show. Now, Josefina and Redora visit this tow yard where the mechanic guy Bryson's truck has been taken. And they ask, you know, what caused the crash? Like, they meet this, I don't know if he's an investigator or sheriff or somebody.
Yeah, someone in law enforcement. Yeah.
The guy said he didn't know. And there was, like, no art to be seen because they start asking. They're like, was there anything else found in the truck? Mm-hmm. And there was nothing.
And the cop's like, why? Was there anything of value in the car? Like, not asking for suspicion, just correct, out of curiosity. And they're like, no, nothing was in it. All they found were cigarette butts. And, like, his burnt t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's all that was in the car.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Did those monkeys get in there and clear the way? Is that what happened?
They took the crates and ran away. But then Josefina, as they're walking back to their cars, is pissed.
Yeah.
Because she's like, why would you trust him? Why would you think he wouldn't do anything shady? Because he's a gross, creepy pervert. And she, like, gets into her nice car. Because as we see throughout the movie, she's starting to get, like, nicer and nicer things. Mm-hmm. Like, her apartment becomes beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Her car is beautiful. And she just, like, flies in her car, like, storms out of there past Redora. And Redora calls a creepy pervy guy and leaves him a voicemail, like, where the fuck are you? What's going on? Uh-huh. Call me back. And I'm like, he's not going to call you back, girlfriend.
He's not.
He's in a painting with monkeys now.
I wonder if he's frozen in time. Probably. He probably is.
Yeah, I wondered that, too, because...
I wonder how the painting looks with the monkeys and him. Like, do the monkeys look like he's attacking him? Is he friends?
I was wondering that too. Like, what did the painting look like? I wish they showed it. Like, what does the painting look like now that he's in it? And, like, does he have any, like, consciousness in the painting? Or is he just, like, part of the painting?
Right.
And are the monkeys friendly now?
Well, if I had
And do the monkeys have names?
Do they have names?
Why wouldn't they?
You know what? You're right. You're right. Why wouldn't they have names?
Right? Why not? I would name them.
What if it was a feral monkey and they didn't have names?
But what if they wanted names and I would help them name themselves?
Oh.
I'd be like, listen, guys, I'm already in the painting. What else are we going to do here? We can't do anything else.
If I got to be here, let's be productive.
Let's be friends. What's your name? You don't have one? Let's figure it out. What do you like to do? I don't know.
Eat
bananas? Great. Your name is Banana. Let's move on.
Oh, my God.
What about you?
How did you get so angry about this? Oh, God. This spiraled downhill very quickly. You all right? You okay?
Okay. I'm good.
Okay, great. Oh, my God. Okay. So Josefina and Morph are together again. Mm-hmm. She's getting ready, and they are about to be photographed for the first time together.
Uh-huh.
And then Morph starts talking about his research on Deese and says that there are, like, really large gaps in his artwork, and he's really confused or concerned or just wants to know more.
Because there's no, like, sketches or any type of, like, studies that Deese has done at all, which is, like, uncommon for artists, because usually you can find, like, sketches or, like, early work that led them to their actual work. Mm-hmm. He can't find anything on
nothing.
Him.
So I've been cataloging paintings for the book. Something doesn't add up. There's almost no studies or sketches. They seem to be missing. As well as large gaps from different periods of his work.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
And he thinks it's weird. And you can tell by Josefina's reaction that she does too, but she's trying to play it off as not a big deal.
Right.
Because she's got a lot riding on this.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't want anything to get fucked up.
No.
She just wants it. Everybody just needs to gloss over the things that don't make sense so that she can make her money.
100%.
Right. All right. So now we see Coco. She was the receptionist that got fired.
Yeah.
She actually is there at John's office.
Uh-huh.
At his office to interview with him.
Yes.
He walks in and immediately says that she's too young and needs to come back when she's 40 and has more experience.
That's ageism, and that's illegal, buddy.
I don't think he gives a shit.
He clearly doesn't. But how old is he? Because he looks like he's maybe a couple years older than her.
Right.
He's got a baby face anyway. I'm like, bro, you're like 25. Get over yourself.
Help a sister out.
She's like, I'm 22. And I'm like, yeah, he's probably 25.
Right.
Tell him to shut the fuck up.
She's like, so is that it? Like, she walks past her.
She's a very timid girl.
Oh, very timid. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, that's it. So she's like about to get up and walk out. And he sees on her resume that she used to work with Redora. And now he's interested.
100%. Some insider scoop.
Correct. So he wants to know everything about the D show that was just held.
Yes.
The money that was generated, the buyer's list. He says he wants to know everything.
Yep.
So he welcomes her into his office.
Of course, because it works out for him.
Yes, to get all the information.
Yep.
All right. I guess she has a new employer now. So now we see Gretchen again, and she walks back into her old employer at this museum and says that she has her hands on some Dee's paintings.
Yeah, like two of them or something like that.
And she wants them to be shown.
Okay. So this bitch was working at this like art museum, right? And she's working with these two other people. Like one of his name is Jim. I don't know the lady's name.
I don't either.
But she was working on like the same level, I think, as these people. Mm-hmm. Now that she's an art advisor for some big fucking wig, she comes into the office and she is like strong arm bullying these people that she just worked for like a week ago. And she's like, you're going to premiere it. And
this is how it's going to go.
And the guy's like, all right, maybe like, you know, next season we can get it. And she's like, no,
we don't have enough room.
ASAP. You're going to clear space and you're going to exhibit this and blah, blah, blah. I mean, like strong arm bullying them. They are not having it. They're like, okay, whatever, girl. Like,
well, because they've been around her. They know how probably diva-ish she could be. Because all of a sudden now
she's like too big for her britches, you know? And I'm like, okay, bitch, get out of here. And they're just kind of like rolling their eyes and she just kind of like storms out.
They're like, okay, bye, kisses.
So gross.
Yeah. So Morph goes to this old Solwell Veterans Administration thing, trying to find out more information about Dee's. This is where he worked for the 42 years.
Yeah.
So he's met by an employee that had worked with him for 18 years.
Like a maintenance guy.
Yeah. He's very busy. He really doesn't have time to talk. He doesn't really want to talk to Morph. Morph explains that he's like writing this article. It's important. I need to just find out some information, whatever. And then basically this guy says that Dee's had a few medals and had a loud mouth. That was basically his description of him.
And then there was somebody else that they used to work with that knew Dee's better, but he can't really ask him because that guy showed up dead in a field. And then Jake Gyllenhaal's like, are you saying that Dee's did it? And he's like, I'm saying that I'm not answering more questions because I already answered these questions yesterday.
For somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, who the fuck came here asking you questions? And he hands him a business card and it's a private investigator that came asking questions, who we see Don Don hired to snoop out more of the Dee's information, whatever.
Yes, he did. So he has researched and realized that Dee's had like this mental breakdown. And for 20 years, he was in this psychiatric hospital and basically was a human guinea pig. Him, along with everybody else in the psychiatric hospital. Like doing all these different experiments and stuff. They were showing him some of them like throughout, like in the movie. Like they clipped to a couple different things.
Well, he went into the psych place after he killed his dad.
Yes, yes.
So as we know, he was at that like orphanage kind of child place, whatever. Until he was 18, and then he joined the military for 2 years. And then when he got back from overseas, he like came back with vengeance and like hunted down his dad. And I don't remember how long they said, but he tortured his dad for days. Days, and then killed him by setting him on fire. And then he got put into a psych ward.
Yeah, I jumped over all that.
Where, you're completely right, they tortured him there for however long he was there. And they would like do experiments and try different things and inject them with who knows what while they were there.
Right.
How fucked up is that?
That is fucked up. Ugh. The olden days were really scary.
Yes. So then the whole time for like the decades that he was like off the grid was when he got out of that psych ward place.
Yeah, because the hospital ended up closing and then he just went into hiding.
Yes. And then he was just completely off the grid, I guess, doing all these paintings for the however many decades he was in hiding for. Oh, God.
What a life. Can you imagine?
I know. So the PI leaves because, like, I guess the investigator was under the impression that if this was going to, like, raise pricing or interest in the artwork. But Don Don's more using it to, like, leverage, I guess, against Redora.
Yeah.
So the investigator leaves and Don Don takes a folder of information he got from the investigator and, like, puts it in a file cabinet. And the wall where the file cabinet is this huge Dee's painting.
Oh, yeah.
And there's, like, I think a little kid in it or something in the painting.
I think so.
And they're all watching him.
Yeah. It's really creepy. Basically, all the people that are in these paintings are staring at everybody.
Yeah, and they don't all have like vivid eyes. Like their eyes are kind of blurry and they all have like mouths, like just black open hole kind of mouths. But they all are just watching you.
And some of them have like their faces are all blurred out too.
Yeah, I think depending on who he was painting from his past is how like aggressive the face actually looks. He's the only one at his own studio, and as he's packing up to leave, he hears this projector kick on from one of the exhibits. So he calls out to see if anybody's still there, and nobody's there.
Of course not.
No. fucking course not. So he like walks over to the projector and he's like flipping the switch to turn it off and it won't turn off.
No, it doesn't.
So he
tries to unplug it.
Mm-hmm. And a fucking course he hears this like rumbling noise behind him. And you know what he does? He walks over to it.
Well, he needs to go check it out.
I would be running out the door.
I don't know why you would stay there, period.
Why?
Just leave.
I would have been bolting it out the door. If I know the only one there and all these things were turning on.
Well, no. Yeah, I think that would probably kind of freak me out. Yes. But keep in mind, too, that they probably are in these dark museums and exhibits all the time. A lot.
And they're used to creepy ass paintings, yeah. I'm sure. Oh. He turns around when he hears a rumbling noise and there's like a door behind him. So he goes to open the door and now he's in some creepy ass attic looking room, like a completely different room than he was in. He's no longer in the exhibit. Uh-huh. He's in this like weird attic. So in this attic, there's like a creepy doll on like a box whose eyes are glowing blue. And the doll's creepy even without the glowing eyes. And there's this like light bulb hanging from the ceiling.
Right.
Because this is fucking stupid. Did it make you angry?
It infuriated me.
Yes.
I'm like, what the fuck are you doing up there?
Because why? There's a bulb hanging from the ceiling and starts flickering.
Right.
So Don Don's like, oh, I'll go fix the bulb.
Here, let me get a box so that I can stand on it so I can reach it.
So there's like boxes that he starts climbing on and he takes his scarf to like touch the hot bulb, I guess, and starts to like twist it.
Uh-huh.
Why? Just look for an exit. What are you doing?
I don't know why you would need to fix it that very second.
Get out of there!
What if the bulb was going out? Like, you couldn't fix it.
No, it's just a dead bulb anyway.
Okay, all right.
So while he's trying to fix stupid bulb, this, like, old-ass hand comes and, like, grabs him, which did make me jump. Even though I was expecting it to happen, it still made me jump. And he grabs his scarf.
Yes.
And starts, like, choking him. All the boxes now fall, so he can't get down.
Yeah, he's being hung.
And he's basically being hung by this whatever.
Tie.
Yeah, this, like, scarf thing.
It's a
scarf. Whatever.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever.
Anyways, that was one of the stupidest scenes in this movie.
Yeah, I didn't mind it up until the stupid light bulb thing. Because I didn't mind that the projector on was fine.
I agree. The rumbling noise was fine. Yeah.
Him in the attic. Okay, weird. Like, how'd he get there? And then, like, the light bulb? Why?
I don't know.
Couldn't a spirit just, like, grab him and pick him into the air? Like, couldn't
I don't know.
Grab him?
Yeah.
Or just choke him? You're going to choke him anyway?
I don't know. It was not a well thought out scene.
I guess the point of it was to make it look like a suicide.
Right.
Because the next morning.
That was really high.
How would he get up? Okay. The next morning, poor Coco again.
Oh my God.
Because now she's working for another art person. And she walks in the door and she can hear like the projector still going from that exhibit.
Yes.
And she's calling to John Don Don and no one's answering. And she turns the corner and sees him hanging from the ceiling.
She screams bloody murder.
Yes. Yeah, she does. So it looks like a suicide. Yeah. So maybe that was the point, but I don't know why he had to like go fix a light bulb to make it look like a suicide.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing was weird.
It was weird.
Okay, whatever.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. So now we're at his funeral.
Yes.
And
it sounds terrible, but it was kind of funny.
Okay.
That sounds terrible, though.
It does, but until you see the movie.
Yes.
Because these people at this funeral were all about themselves.
They're all critics. All of them.
Yes. And they were so overdramatic.
Yes.
About everything.
Mostly Jake Gyllenhaal.
Right. And nobody seemed to give a shit about this guy dying.
They all were there out of, like, having to be there. Like, correct. It was like they were...
Like, they needed... They had to
They had to show there. Face.
Yeah.
So, Jake Gyllenhaal gets there with Josefina, and he's like, oh my God, who paid for that casket? What color is that? Oh, wait, can you imagine being buried in that for eternity? Like, it was really funny.
It was funny.
Terrible.
Yeah.
But, like, really funny on, like, how judgy he was about it.
They just didn't give a shit.
No.
Yeah.
And then, like, Redora and John Malkovich sit in, like, the front row of the funeral, and a woman who works there was like, excuse me, like,
this
only
is for
family can sit here.
Yeah.
And she's like,
Well, John started at my gallery, so, I mean, where the hell else would I sit?
And just, like, basically told the girl to, like, fuck off. And I'm like, these people... are just in their own fucking world and think that like nobody else's opinion fucking matters. And I'm like, the ball's on these people.
Yeah.
Part of it's great. Part of it's funny. Most of it's bad.
I mean, in real life, that wouldn't be acceptable.
No.
At all.
No.
Maybe in the art world. I don't know.
Maybe anytime that's like that much money involved in anything.
Maybe.
It's different.
They can just do whatever the fuck they want. I don't know. So that night, Josefina and Morph are having sex.
They're banging again.
They really are. They really like each other. He gets fixated on this D's painting that is behind the bed.
It's a huge painting.
It's huge.
It's as wide as the bed and probably just as tall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he ends up staring at it freaks out and then just jumps off the bed and like right in the middle.
Totally ruins the mood.
Really does. And she gets pissed.
Pisses her off.
She's pissed. He's like, there's something wrong with me. Uh-huh. He goes, I'm seeing things. I'm going to go get my eyes checked.
Yes.
And I did notice that he was extremely sweaty. Did you see how wet and sweaty he was?
He was soaking wet. But he was naked again, so it was okay.
I'm like, how much work did you put into this sex? That's a lot of work.
Did you put into this sex? But the whole time, like, he is, like, kind of rattled by, like, one, of course, seeing this picture. Because it's not the first time he's been seeing shit.
Right.
So he's visibly rattled. And Josefina, okay, I can understand there being a buzzkill and that kind of ruin your mood and making you a little bit irritated.
Yeah.
She was being a full-on bitch.
Yeah.
She was pissed about, I think, more than just this incident. But she was being, like, really nasty to him. And then she starts saying that Toni Collette, Gretchen, told her that, like, him and Ed are still together.
Oh, yeah.
Even though that, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal told that they're done and they're moving out of each other's apartment, whatever. And then, you know, there's all this gossip about them. And she goes, I checked your phone. You called him 6 times. Like, so she's pissed that she thought that they were exclusive.
Right.
But she thinks that he's still with his boyfriend.
Yeah. Like, she's got, just ask. You know what? Right. If you've got all of this stuff, just ask.
And he's saying, like, we are broken up. I called him because we're trying to arrange him moving his shit out of my house. Like, yeah, we called him because we have to arrange shit. Like, well, that's what he's saying.
It's probably along the lines, too, because she was just cheated on.
Right.
So she probably, in the fresh back of her mind, kind of exactly. Yeah. So she's probably deflecting. Mm-hmm. Anyways, but because we know that it's not true.
Right.
So Morph thinks he's losing his mind and he goes to get his eyes checked. The doctor's like, well, you know, your eyesight's actually better than the last time you were here.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's no way. There's no way. So Redora visits Pierce now and looks at his latest paintings to get an opinion. Yes. He needs everybody's opinions.
Yes.
I think because he knows that they're really bad.
Because he is now a struggling artist, not because of addiction, but because he's like fixing his addiction.
Yeah.
Because he's been sober and he's like in a better headspace. So his art is not as good as it used to be, according to all these critics and art people. Mm-hmm. So he's struggling to like get ideas, inspiration or whatever. So Redora is basically like, maybe you need to take a break.
Right.
Clear your head more. Take some time off.
Go to my beach house.
Use my beach house.
Yeah. I want to use your beach house. Too.
Yeah. Does it apply to us? Yeah. We need our heads cleared sometimes. We need some space.
I agree.
Let's go. I'll get a bunch of bottles of wine. It'll be great.
Will it be canned Kettle One?
No. Okay, I won't get that for you.
Okay, great.
But I might get other canned stuff, but just for variety. Okay. I'll get bottles too. Well, just variety.
Well, because we're going to be there for a while. Some so we don't want to get bored.
Some more frozen pouches. I'll just get variety.
Okay.
Okay.
I do love your choice in alcohol.
And then I'll get all the alcohol and then you get the cheese.
Oh. And crackers?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a good trade-off.
I think so too. I can bring some.
You like to make yourself a good charcuterie board.
Oh God. Give me a charcuterie board. I will eat that shit up. I do love it. Why don't we have one now? What the fuck was I thinking? I could have brought some cheese from the house. I have a whole load of cheese.
I love cheese. I love loads of cheese.
I know that. I know that about you. That's why we're friends. Yeah. So, okay. So as they're having this conversation, Redora gives him something that she wanted to share.
Sure.
And it was like something that Pollyanna had written in 1983. Mm. She just tells him to go to the beach house.
Yeah.
Get his shit together.
He doesn't seem
and come
reluctant
back.
To take the keys at all.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we're back at the eye doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he's leaving and the eye doctor gave him those like glasses because he had to dilate his eyes.
Yeah.
You know, those like plasticky, like
those
thin
blue
ones.
Those blue blocker looking ones, but just the paper.
And he looks at it and he's like, these are heinous. So he like puts these on.
You
and
know the
like,
doctor was excited when he gave it because he's like,
of course.
This queen over here, he is not going
to
like this
who
shit.
Who is dressed to the nines to go to an eye doctor, has to wear these heinous glasses. I love everything about it. So now he's like walking to the parking garage to get into his car and he calls Toni Collette and starts bitching her out for telling Josefina about him and Eddie.
Right.
And he's like yelling at her. He tells her that she's a joke and that she's a liar. And we see Toni Collette, Gretchen, walking into her car. And we see like in the background, Coco like carrying boxes for her. And I'm like, oh my God, this poor girl's not working for another artist.
Yes.
So she's like putting boxes in her trunk of her car. And then she tells Jake Gyllenhaal like, well, I guess you're kind of old news because I see Josefina and Damrish driving off into the sunset together.
Yeah.
And he gets pissed.
Oh, he's pissed off.
He
completely pissed off.
Throws his phone in his car and just like takes off. And she is very proud of herself on the end of that phone
call.
Oh
my God. what is wrong with these people?
I don't know, because they're all narcissists. That's all it is.
They really are. Mm-hmm. All of them. Every single one of them.
Yes. 100%.
Okay. So now we see Morph, and he goes to see Gita. I think it's Gita.
I don't know.
Okay. It's the girl that does, like, the paint expert or the medium expert to figure out how, you know.
What medium they use.
Correct. Yeah. To kind of get all the details.
She was the one for the beginning that said that it was mysterious.
Oh, what was the word that she used? She,
it's the damnedest thing.
It was the damnedest thing.
It was the damnedest
thing. It was the damnedest thing.
Yes. So, yeah, she's the one that said it was the damnedest thing, and we didn't know what that meant.
We're like, okay.
Okay, so he tells her that he's writing this book on Deese, mm-hmm. and he wanted to get more information about Deese's techniques.
Yep.
And then she tells him, kind of reluctantly, too, she tells him that it was blood tissue that was used as a medium, and that it was used in the red and black shadowing on the paintings.
Uh-huh.
Tissue is in blood serum. The artist, I assume, he used it to create the reddish blacks in the shadows. It wasn't every piece we studied.
And then it kind of ends there. But you could see the look on his face. He was just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
She didn't know if it was like the artist's blood or what.
She didn't know where it came from.
No.
Right.
But that was the mystery medium used in addition to the paintings was
it was
human blood.
It was the damnedest thing.
The damnedest thing.
That's an interesting way to say that.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mystery materials.
Okay, so now Gretchen is at the museum at her old employer again and is showing the Deese art and the Minken sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Everyone leaves and she's kind of walking around this dark museum all by herself. And then she walks over to the spear and decides to put her hand in one of the holes.
Yeah. So as she's walking over to this like mirrored sphere thing, all the Deese paintings are watching.
Yes. Oh my God. It's creepier than shit.
So because Coco was there with her and then Coco was like, do you mind if I leave to get a couple of hours of sleep before I meet you back here in the morning? And she's such a bitch. She goes, did you fix the lighting on the sphere? Fine, then you can go. So now she's the only one at the entire museum exhibit.
Yes.
So, yeah, she just all of a sudden is like walking over to the sphere. She like giggles to herself a little bit and decides to put her arm in one of the holes.
Of course she does.
Of the sphere.
Yeah.
Don't know why, but she did. So then we see her like up to her shoulder in this sphere and something grabs her and pulls her and she can't get her arm out. How terrifying is that?
That is terrifying.
And then we hear this.
Why would you put your arm in one of those holes? Like I just.
No, I would never.
Ever.
Never. No, no, no.
For one thing, I don't want anybody else's germs. I don't know what the fuck they're doing in there.
Especially nowadays. Now that we're all like afraid of touching things.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested.
So she's like yanked into this sphere and she can't get her arm out of it. Mm-mm. And then we hear this like saw blade noise.
Yeah.
And then we hear her screaming and we hear this like bone crunching noise.
And then there's like blood spewing out of all the other holes in the sphere thing.
Yeah. Just basically, she's just like hits the ground. I guess her arm got like ripped off in this sphere.
I think it got sawed off.
Oh.
it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
That was a pretty gross scene.
So the next scene is Josefina calling Redora to tell her about what happened to Gretchen Toni Collette.
Yes.
So as she's telling her the story, we see a close-up of Josefina's face like freaked out. And then we see flashes of the museum.
Yes.
So apparently.
Oh my God.
They thought her bloody corpse around this exhibit was
part of
the exhibit.
Yes.
People were taking pictures of it. Children came in on a field trip and were stepping in her blood and leaving footprints all over it. And they're showing these kids like stomping as if it's like a rain puddle
and
like
then,
in it.
And then who comes in to
fucking
find?
Coco. This poor girl. She sees another one of her employers just dead.
Die.
How do the police not get suspicious of her?
I don't know.
I guess she's always the one calling 911.
That's a really good question.
Like, hey, my boss is dead. Hey, my boss is dead.
I wonder if she was like paid under the table. Like, I wonder if she wasn't like part of like the payroll.
But if she called the cops three times now.
Oh, that's true.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It was three, right? Because we've got Don Don, her.
Who was the first one?
It's just Don Don.
Yeah.
So just two right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Okay. So Redora's cat runs into the house, mm-hmm. and the did you see that the cat brought a rat sacrifice to one of the D's paintings?
Yeah, it like
just dropped it, yeah. and she didn't even like pay attention to it.
No,
like it, she saw it.
I guess because that's like a cat being a cat, just like bringing gross dead animals.
It was right up to a freaking painting.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways,
gross.
That was gross. Yeah. Okay. So that was that for that scene, basically.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So
we learned that the D's exhibit is now booming.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's like everybody, no matter the massacre that happened and the weird blood incident, it doesn't matter because people are still going there to see the D's exhibit.
People love these paintings.
Yes.
They are like, have to be around them.
Yes.
It's the craziest thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Josephina lets Rodora go when she gets a knock on her door.
Mm-hmm.
Morph is there.
Uh-huh.
He kind of lets himself in because he's so distraught about Gretchen dying and sees the artist Darmish is there.
Uh-huh. Making breakfast.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's like all smug and stuff. He's just kind of still doing his thing in the kitchen and Morph is freaking the fuck out.
I loved the conversation exchange between Morph and Darmish. It was fantastic.
Please, go ahead.
Jake Gyllenhaal or Morph goes, "The admiration I had for your work has completely evaporated."
"The admiration I had for your work has completely evaporated."
And then Darmish goes, "Hey man, I wasn't trying to jump your train, okay? She said you guys were done."
"Hey man, I wasn't trying to jump your train, okay? She said you two were done."
And then he goes to Josephina, "Are we? Say you didn't feel the same thing."
"Are we? Are we? Say we don't share something real."
And then she goes,
"I was never particularly obsessed."
And then Darmish from the kitchen goes,
"Ooh."
And then Jake Gyllenhaal, like pissed off and embarrassed,
he just stomps out. Yeah.
But I started laughing at all of Darmish's reaction, just like, "Ooh, ouch." And he's still like whisking eggs in the kitchen. Like, "Ooh, ah." So funny.
No, and Morph was like so dramatic.
Uh-huh.
He's dramatic through this entire movie.
Completely evaporated. I loved every second of it. It was so funny.
Okay, Morph. It's okay. So yeah, he's rightfully upset and he leaves with his paintings. All right. He walks out of the apartment building and he sees this bus drive by and like a live moving version of Gretchen is staring at him on the side of this bus and she has no arm.
Yeah. Bleeding.
Bleeding. Uh-huh. Yes. And then he like kind of shakes his head or kind of looks away. And then he looks back at it. It's the actual model picture
on the bus. Yeah.
On the bus. And then
he's losing it.
He is losing it. Okay, so Morph goes into work to review an exhibit.
Yes.
Another exhibit of another artist. And he goes into this sound room that this artist has created with a bunch of different, like, microphones and different... It's like a padded room.
The walls and the ceiling are covered with this, like, pyramid-shaped...
Like
kind of like to make the room completely soundproof.
Yes.
So you can't hear anything outside the room. All you can hear is whatever sound is coming through the speakers. Completely soundproof.
Yes.
So what he's supposed to do is like sit in this room and whatever this experience you're supposed to feel in this soundproof room, he's supposed to write a review on it and whatever.
Yes.
So the guy who like leads him into the room closes the door and says like he'll get the sounds on, whatever. As he's in the room, he starts hearing himself.
In all these microphones that are in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
From like each different corner. And it's like reviews that he's written or nasty things that he's said
horrible
about other
things.
Artists, whatever.
Over and over and over again.
And louder and louder and from all different angles of the room. And he is losing it.
He starts crying.
He's yelling.
Yes.
And the guy who works there opens the door and he's like, "Hey, I'm sorry for the delay. Like we couldn't get the sound to work, but we got everything fixed. I'll get that right now."
Yeah.
And he's like, "You didn't play anything?" He's like, "No, it's been completely silent in here the entire time. I couldn't get this." Oh, he's hearing this shit that never actually happened. And it's supposed to be sounds of like whale noises is what the exhibit is.
Yes.
And he's hysterical. And the guy's like, "Are you still okay to listen?
I know. Are you still okay to do this? Do you want to come back?"
And he's like, "No, sure." And as soon as he closes the door and walks away, Jake Gyllenhaal just gets up and beelines it, takes off running out of this room and out of this exhibit.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. I'm pretty sure he's not going to be back.
No, he was like beside himself. What a mess.
All right, so Morph talks to Rodera. He's losing it on her. She asks how Bryson Bryson? God damn it. I can't, that Pervy name.
Dude. I don't know what his name is.
Yeah, the maintenance guy. Uh-huh. She brushes it off and tells him that she doesn't know.
Yeah.
And that there were surveillance cameras on him the night that he died.
Yeah.
He asks her where those crates were that he was loading. Like,
where'd they go?
Where did they go? Mm-hmm. There's got to be something that has seen something.
Right. So his big reason for being there is to ask her to stop selling the artwork. Because he's saying that, like, the art is coming to life.
Correct. He's like starting to understand.
Things. Yes.
Yeah.
So anybody who's profiting from this artwork, because he found out that I guess Deez had specifically requested that when he dies, all of his work be destroyed and not sold, not whatever, not like given anybody, completely destroyed. And he's like, did you know that? And she's not answering.
No.
And he's saying like, box it up, put it in storage.
Stop selling it.
Get rid of it, but stop selling it, because it's bad news for anybody who keeps selling this shit.
His altered mental state, tortured soul, phases of the goddamn moon, I don't know how. These deaths, the disappearance, everything that is now happening, it's all connected to his art, imbued with some spirit, created out of some vital ideal.
It's a bit baroque, don't you think?
I came here to warn you.
Okay. You know what? It's been a fucked up few weeks.
You're going to die.
Right.
Yes.
So she kind of believes him, kind of doesn't, but I think only does a little bit because of how, like, visibly upset he is.
Yes.
So Jake Gyllenhaal gets in his car and he's a sweaty mess, dripping in sweat.
He has a lot of sweat in this movie.
Yes. He gets very anxious and clammy. And I guess I can relate to that a little bit. A little bit.
You can.
I can a little bit. It's
fine. Not to his extent. Like, it looks like
He was dripping.
It looks like he just took a dip in the pool.
Yes. He got dunked and then he's put in his car. Right. So he opens his phone. I was surprised to see he had a flip phone.
Oh, my God. The same thing. I'm like, what year?
Tiny screen. Yeah. I'm like, this guy has so much fucking money. He has a flip phone.
This was like in 2019,
and you
right?
know it's not a burner phone. He does not have a burner phone.
He doesn't even know what a burner phone is.
No, he don't need one. So he like opens his flip phone, which was fucking weird.
Right.
And on his little tiny ass screen, he sees like all of these missed calls from Josephine.
Yeah.
So he calls her back and I don't know what the review was on, but he wrote this like review. I don't know if it was like a nasty one or I don't know the whole thing.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't nice.
And it was about, I guess he wasn't supposed to do it, but she got so pissed off at him. So there's all these missed calls from her. When he calls her back, she is pissed.
Yeah.
Because the experience that he's been having with the Deez paintings of it, like, fucking with him.
Yeah.
He was writing it all, and he was going to release this entire article review about these paintings that were going to, like, one, question his credibility.
Right.
He was definitely going to, like, hurt his own career by releasing this article, but also potentially fuck up the exhibit.
Oh, yeah. Because it really could go either way, because his thoughts on everything are so valuable.
100%.
That anything that he did, any kind of move he does, good or bad, is going to have some kind of repercussion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So she is livid because she's making so much fucking money off of this.
Yes, she is.
She lives in this like beautiful fucking apartment now. She's got quite the lifestyle. So she's yelling at him and she basically tells him to like fuck off, lose her number, don't call her again. And she gets pissed.
Right.
So she goes into the living room of her apartment where Darmish is and he's staring at this painting she has over her fireplace.
Yeah.
Of a Deez painting that has also like a bonfire in it.
These paintings are massive.
Huge. All of them.
Yes.
It's a gigantic one over her fireplace and the fire is like moving and almost looking three-dimensional.
Yeah, it is.
In the painting and he is watching it and like not even blinking.
No.
So he asks her like, have you ever like stare at these? Like if you watch them long, they start to move. So she starts freaking out a little bit because Jake Gyllenhaal was saying
that.
Of course, she's probably experienced herself too to be so freaked out.
Uh-huh.
She's trying to like distract him. So she like climbs on top of him and she's trying to kiss him. And he is like looking around her at this painting.
Yeah. He's like, I can't do this right now.
Mm-mm.
I got to go.
And he like makes up some excuse to leave. And she's like, are you blowing me off? And he's like, well, you just come with me. And I'm like, but the whole time he's staring at this painting.
He won't take his eyes off
of
it. It's the weirdest damn thing. I don't know.
Okay. So we go back to like Jake Gyllenhaal in his car freaking out after like Josephine basically told him to fuck off.
Yes.
And he calls Coco. Everybody has Coco's number. How does everybody have Coco's number?
I don't know. She's like the smallest part of this entire thing, but one of the most important.
She's involved in everything.
She's involved with everybody.
Yes. So he calls Coco and asks if she's available to like work for him for a little bit.
Right.
And she's like, yes.
Yeah.
I lost my last employer. Her arm got chopped off. I'm pretty much free. So he asks her to meet her at this overlook spot in LA.
Yeah.
And he asks if she knows where it is. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. So she meets him there and he needs her to like sort through some paintings he has in storage.
He goes through this entire like monologue about Deese and just, I'm like,
I didn't get any of it. Whatever.
She didn't get any of it.
She don't care.
No. She's like, what do you want me to do?
Right. Just give me the damn keys.
Give me a task.
It's late. I'm meeting you at night. Let's do this. But Coco is like reluctant to tell Jake Gyllenhaal, but she tells him like, hey, I found out, I was working for Redora, that she would pay your ex-boyfriend Ed to like
work for her,
snoop a little bit,
yeah,
and give her a heads up of like your reviews before you like put them out to the world.
Yeah.
So she kind of had a heads up on what to buy and what not to buy.
Exactly.
And Jake Gyllenhaal got a little bit pissed.
You think?
And she's like, did that ruin my job opportunity with you?
No.
And he's like, no, here are the keys. I gotta go.
It's very funny.
Uh-huh.
So she goes to itemize everything that's in his house or whatever.
Wherever she's going.
So Josefina is at a bar with Darmish.
It's a seedy bar.
It's very seedy.
Uh-huh. A little hole in the wall.
It's more his speed, not hers. Mm-hmm. He tells her that he's pulling out of Redora's gallery, mm-hmm. and she about loses her mind.
Sure.
She gets pissed and she's like, okay, we just need to leave. He's like, no, I'm staying.
Yeah.
You can go.
Why would he bring her there if he was just going to pull one of those?
I don't know.
Kind of a dick move.
Kind of.
Yeah. Whatever.
But she's kind of a bitch.
Yeah, totally.
So, well, I don't think she was. Yeah. Okay. So Redora is at her house sleeping,
mm-hmm.
and when she hears this clanging sound from another room,
ugh.
So she gets up, and of course they're in LA, or
yes.
right? Okay,
mm-hmm.
So they have like all of these windows.
She lives in
on
this
their house,
massive, beautiful house in the hills with like just windows as walls.
Does everybody not have walls in their house?
Just, everyone feels like they're in a fish tank, and I don't like that. The houses are gorgeous.
They are very gorgeous.
But I would not want to live there.
No!
It's creepy a little bit.
At least give me a, like, on the first floor, give me a full wall.
Because you know at night when your lights are on, you can't see anybody out there, but they can see you.
Yes.
You are on display.
I can't.
No, thank you.
Maybe they want that.
I don't want that.
Maybe they
want
to be seen and be like...
just walking around, maybe they're naked.
Whatever. I know. Okay. So she walks downstairs to investigate, mm-hmm. and then she has a Deese painting in her room.
Yeah.
And it's like looking at her.
Yeah. It's weird because it's like a woman and her cat like sitting on like a pavement thing.
Yeah.
And you see two shadows in front of them.
Yes.
So you don't know like what's in front that's creating these shadows.
And the cat looks like her hairless cat that she's
yes.
got.
It's and it like moves and she takes the picture and she just like faces it down.
Yeah.
To like not look at it again. And then goes toward this weird like rattling glass clanking noise in her kitchen.
Yeah.
And
she notices like the back door is open to her house, like the sliding glass door.
Her first instinct is to close it. But like, what would someone be in your house?
Yes.
Then? Why would you close the door?
I don't know. And then why is, I don't know if it's a harp or some kind of like corded instrument is
like
humming.
Her front porch.
It's humming. So she like just puts her hands on it to stop it.
The strings on it. Yeah.
Are you not concerned at all, Redora? Are we not?
Didn't open that door. You live by yourself. That means somebody or something else did. Don't just nonchalantly close it like nothing fucking happened.
Okay. I don't agree with this. Redora, you need to be a little bit more aware
yes.
of what's going on.
Be just a little bit more concerned.
A little bit. Okay. So now we jump to Josefina.
Uh-huh.
And she's leaving this bar yep. that she was with Darmish because uh-huh. she's all pissed off.
Uh-huh.
And she realizes she's being blocked in by another car.
Yeah.
So she stops her feet and she calls like a tow company. She's like, I need somebody towed. They need uh-huh. to be here right now. And so they're supposed to be coming.
Uh-huh.
Who knows how long.
Whatever.
But she's going to stand out there. Okay. And mm-hmm. the seedy bar.
Yes.
That seems safe.
Not okay.
Okay.
Get in your car at least, right?
Right. So her phone stops working and she's trying to like, I don't know if she's texting. I don't know what she's doing.
She was trying to call Redora to tell her about Darmish leaving the exhibit.
That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden her phone like stops doing what she was trying to get it to do. And this Deese painting just pops up on her phone and she can't get rid of it.
Yes.
It's just staying right
uh-huh.
there. So there are lights on that like are turn on behind her.
Yeah.
And she's got her back to this building, which... I don't remember seeing this in the scene before.
It wasn't there.
Okay. So
the wall behind her was like a graffitied wall.
Yeah.
It was some type of painting graffiti on the wall. But now it has turned into this
a gallery,
art gallery, which was kind of like what happened to Don Don. Was like,
oh, that's
he was
true.
In an exhibit, but all of a sudden now he's in an attic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like she's in a parking lot, but now all of a sudden there's like an art gallery behind her that she doesn't find suspicious, and she just like walks right the fuck in,
and nobody's in there.
No one's in there, and all the lights are on, and it's like this pristine gallery next to this CD dive bar. Like that doesn't
doesn't jive with me very well.
No, but she's like walking through it, and it's like full of, I'm assuming, D's paintings, mm-hmm. and they're all watching her, and she's still trying to connect on her phone.
Yeah,
she's moving it. She finally is able to like get her phone to like open or work.
Well, and as she's walking past all these paintings, they start melting.
Yes, like all of the paint is coming off of them onto the floor.
Yes,
and like following her.
Yeah.
And she finally gets her phone to work, and she calls Radora.
Yes.
So we kind of hop between three different scenes at this point, because we have Radora in her house that's like creepy as shit.
Yeah.
And then we have Josefina, who's in that art gallery by herself mysteriously. Mm-hmm. And now we flip to like Jake Gyllenhaal, who is at the storage facility trying to load all of these D's paintings in boxes into his storage facility.
Yeah. To get rid of them, basically. Yes.
And he hears these like creepy noises from like down the end of this, like, of course, dark hall in the storage thing. And that creepy.
Oh, my God. That robot.
Hobo Robo is down at the end of the fucking hallway.
Just staring at him.
This part for me of him with the robot was the creepiest part of the movie, I think.
It was pretty
unsettling.
And I think the biggest part of it was like he was like. Real?
Yes.
But not.
Yes.
Like, what kind of capabilities does he have?
Yes.
Can he hurt you?
Yes.
I don't...
Yes, he can.
Well, he hurt... Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Morph doesn't stand a chance.
No. So he sees the robot, and now we flip back to Josefina in the art gallery.
Yes.
And she can, like, finally connect to Radora, and she tries to tell her that, like, hey, he's pulling out, but their connection's really shitty, and mm-hmm. we see this paint, like, going up her legs.
Like, she doesn't feel any of this.
Weird. Yeah.
But it's, like, almost inside of her.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Like, in her veins, kind of.
Yeah. It's, like, on the inside of her skin, and you can see the different colors just kind of moving up her mm-hmm. legs. It's so cool.
Uh-huh.
This was kind of one of my favorite parts as far as graphics go. Yeah,
it was really cool.
Yeah.
So then we flip back to Jake Gyllenhaal, and he, like, walks over for whatever fucking reason to investigate this creepy robot.
I would have taken something from the storage unit and just, like, threw it at him, or, like,
run.
Karate chopped him to push him over.
Run.
Something.
Yes. So this robot, let's remember, is on, like, two crutches, right?
Right.
So he walks over to it way too fucking close, and the robot
right up in his face.
Looks at him in the face, and I think he said that whole thing of, like, I can't save you again.
Yeah.
So then Jake Gyllenhaal tries to leave, and he like puts a crutch up and like blocks him. So he tries to go in the other direction, and he puts the other crutch up and blocks him again. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So we flip back to Radora, who's still trying to like talk to Josefina, but their connection's not really good. And she sees her cat outside. And she's like, why is my naked cat outside? So she puts her fucking phone down on the countertop. Wouldn't you take it with you?
Well, she didn't. She feels safe in her house.
The door was just open.
Well, apparently she wasn't thinking about it. But then she's like, goes to the cat. She's almost killed by a sculpture that like falls in her yard.
So she tells Josefina, she's like, hold up. Gotta go get my naked cat from outside. And puts her phone on the counter and goes outside and is like trying to call her cat in. And her cat keeps like running away. And this huge sculpture crashes onto her glass table that she's under and almost crushed her completely. Yeah.
Okay.
So now we're back to Jake Gyllenhaal. And this robot still has him trapped between his crutches. And he's like, have you ever felt invisible?
Have you ever felt invisible? Once I built a railroad.
Fuck you, robot. Fuck you, robot. No. He is now running from the robot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would be too.
And the robot all of a sudden doesn't need his crutches.
No.
And he's getting faster and faster.
It's like he's turned into a person.
Gaining on him.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're back to Josefina, who is realizing she's being like completely engulfed in this painting.
Yes, she is.
Because she sees her hands and her arms, and she's trying to like rub the paint off of her.
It's not going anywhere.
No. It's like in her veins or whatever. And she starts screaming and like drops her phone, which is also covered in paint mm-hmm. now. And her whole body is like this rainbow kind of artwork thing.
It's very pretty.
It was pretty cool looking.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Now we're back to Jake Gyllenhaal. And he's being chased by this robot still, and he gets to a dead end.
Yes.
And he can't go anywhere.
He gets cornered.
100%. Yeah. There's like a gate, like fence there, and he can't get out. And now the robot is like way too close up on him, like against his back. Mm-hmm. And he just grabs his face and
snaps his neck.
Breaks his neck.
Yeah.
Poor Jake Gyllenhaal.
Well, he had a good run.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Poor guy. So the next day, Coco, she goes to the storage unit.
Poor Coco. Poor Coco.
Poor Coco. And of course, she does. She sees that his storage unit is open.
Uh-huh. Shit is everywhere.
Shit is everywhere. She kind of like goes around the corner out of the scene that we can see. But yes. She walks around the corner. She immediately starts screaming.
And she goes, fuck me. Girl, three employers in a row in a very short time frame, you've just showed up to work and they've been dead.
Are you beginning to think it's you, honey?
Yes.
I mean, is it? Yeah.
I would get a complex if I was her.
I think you should just go home, which she does.
Yes. Stop working in this industry. It's not good for you. Clearly, it's not healthy.
It's not.
Oh, my gosh.
Poor little girl.
Uh-huh.
So, Redora gets a call that Morph is dead, yes. And she quickly hangs up. So, she calls Josephina to try to get a hold of her.
Yes.
And then it flashes to this bar where her car was sitting, and we see that it is being towed away.
Uh-huh.
So, obviously, she's not there.
Yes.
And then... which was kind of a cool part.
This was really cool.
It was so cool.
Really cool.
The camera pans from like this tow truck guy to the side of this graffitied wall painting. Mm-hmm. And you can see Josephina.
Yeah.
Like her outline, her body.
You don't see it. It's so hard to see at first.
It is. Mm-hmm. Like you can kind of see the outline in one of the paintings that's on the thing.
Yeah. And when they zoom in, you can see like her yelling face.
Yeah.
As like part of this background, this painting that's just completely camouflaged into it.
It's really cool.
It's and kind of creepy. Yes, it was really cool the way they did it. Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we're back to Redora. She's got some movers at her house.
Yes.
And she is getting rid of all of the D's art.
Everything in her house.
Puts it in storage. Mm-hmm. And then we flash to Coco, and Coco is getting on a plane to go back to Michigan, Oklahoma, Texas, wherever.
Somewhere she's from.
Wherever she's from.
She's got the cat with her.
She's got the cat with her. Mm-hmm. And then we flip back to Redora again, who's sitting on the ground outside of her house as the movers are leaving. The camera pans to the back of her neck where this velvet buzzsaw tattoo is. Mm-hmm. And it begins bleeding. The tattoo begins bleeding. And then the saw, this oh my God, this tattoo starts spinning and cuts a hole in her
neck. Digging into her back. And she starts screaming. And she's bleeding all over the place.
It's a lot.
And then the camera like pans out as she's yelling.
Yeah.
Because we see her cat like walk over sit next to her. And the way she's sitting with her cat and the two shadows in front of her was the same as the painting that was in her bedroom.
That is correct.
And we're like, fucking weird. Okay.
Noted.
Weird as shit. So then we're back to Coco in the car, and we hear the cat start freaking out a little bit in like the carrier crate it's in. And Coco looks out the window, and all of these D's paintings that were in these crates that I'm assuming were from when Pervy Guy was like driving somewhere. Mm-hmm.
And they went mysteriously missing.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. He's like hanging these on fences by the highway for people to like come and like buy for like $5 of these paintings, which means that they're still like in circulation and like haunting people.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
And then that's kind of the end of the movie.
Yes.
And then as the credits are rolling, we flash to Pierce.
John Malkovich.
And he's drawing like doodles on the beach.
Oh, yeah. He's at the beach house. He's just chilling.
Did you see how massive this art that he was creating on the beach was?
He had this giant stick and he's just these squirrely, like swirling lines. He's just all over the sand.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And like that's it as the credits are rolling.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. I don't know. I have mixed emotions about this movie.
Yeah, I agree. I liked it. I thought it was entertaining. It was quick moving. It wasn't like too uncomfortable to watch.
Correct.
But
yeah,
it was fine.
It was good.
It was fine.
So, what are we gonna watch next week?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked. Here is the IMDb synopsis for it. Well, we're watching Things Heard and Seen.
Things heard and seen.
It's really hard for me to say because I keep wanting to say seen and heard.
Yeah.
So the order's kind of fucking me up a little bit, but it's things heard and seen.
They probably did that on purpose.
Seen and heard. I feel like the way heard ends, having and after it really fucks me up.
Heard and seen?
Right.
Seen and heard.
That sounds better to me.
Yeah.
It's easier to say.
Yeah.
They should have asked me.
Well, they didn't.
They didn't.
They
so
didn't.
That's why it's called Things Heard and Seen. Okay. An artist relocates to the Hudson Valley and begins to suspect that her marriage has a sinister darkness, one that rivals her new home's history.
Hey.
Hey.
I think I found the perfect house for us.
I'm new in town and I would love to learn more about the older homes in the area.
Better if we kept it that way. Everything in the natural world has a counterpart in the spiritual realm.
I'm sure it will be great.
Who knows?
I don't know anything about it.
I don't either. I know it's on Netflix, so guys, check it out.
Check it out. Yeah. Watch it so we can talk about it together.
Yay! Remember, guys, tipsypod.com. Mm-hmm. You can find all of our merch on there. You can find ways to follow us on all of our social media. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube.
Yay!
Find us on all of those. Rate, review, subscribe. Mm-hmm. Guys, obviously.
Please, we want people to find us.
Yes.
Help a sister out.
And watch Things Heard and Seen. And we will check you guys out next week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. We listen to our own show.
Have you rate, review, and subscribe? Have you
okay,
rate,
let's move on.
Review and subscribed?
Is it Vitrell?
Vitrell D's.
Vitrell D's.
Vitrell D's.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Good job. I don't know if it was Vitrell or Vitrell or Vitrell. D's. All I have is cocoa. I don't have anything after that. I don't know. I just lost my train of thought, I guess. I don't know.
Damrish. I can't ever say anything.
Damrish.
This is Wine, Dine, and Storytime. I'm Nydia.
I'm Dana.
I'm Cindy, and we're your hosts.
Have you ruined a family gathering by asking what wine pairs well with eating a husband?
Are you the CEO of TMI? Have you ever been kicked under the table because you brought up your favorite dinner topic, atrocities throughout history?
Then this podcast is perfect for you.
Each week, Dana and I share stories based on topics that include true crime, historical shenanigans, unexplained mysteries, and all things fascinating, while our amateur chef Cindy prepares themed dinners and pairs wines based on those topics.
Find us, the Wine, Dine, and Storytime podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, and give us a follow.